Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Nick Biddle Life and Leadership Podcast. I am here again in our studio in Corn, Oklahoma, with my beautiful bride, Tarina. How are you doing today?
You know, you want the real answer?
I mean, I'm eventually going to get it, so let's just go ahead and jump right in. Maybe I shouldn't have asked the question.
Right. I'm okay. I've had better days. You know, I'm a little emotional this week, and we have a daughter who's a senior, and there's all those senior moments, and they're selfishly, I'm sad to see her flee the nest as much as I am excited. But I think some days that weighs me down, and I need to just continue to lift her up in prayer and be excited. And I am, but some days I'm just sulking a little bit. But I am excited to be here, and I love helping you in this.
Well, good. I'm not having a great day. It's a busy day, but
yes,
went and worked out this morning. I had a good workout. You were there.
Yes.
You probably didn't have a great workout.
I did not have a good workout.
No. We do this thing called Hot Works, where it is, you know, it's like rowing machine or bike in a sauna. And these little franchises are all over. But
love sauna.
But I love the heat because, boy, it gets my heart rate up, and I need to keep my heart rate up for health reasons, and we'll probably get into that someday. But it's short, sharp workouts, 15, 30, 45-minute sessions and high-intensity training. But it's hard to get started some days.
Yes.
And today was hard to get started.
Yes.
And I do in my business, I have some different solutions, but 1 week of the month, it's mostly virtual solutions. So it's where I'm doing Zoom calls with clients, or I've got my foreman's inner circle, or I've got this full auto leadership accountability group where we companies come together and we talk about how to retain our top talent. And all of those sessions are today. So those drain me because it's pulling. I don't have a live audience to feed off of. It's tougher. But trying to get down here and get everything set and get ready. And I mean, thank goodness I don't have to get on an airplane, because yesterday the kids had ball games and they did great.
Yes.
And Elle had 20 rebounds. That was incredible.
Yes.
She was a machine. But I remember, it's like we've been doing this cold plunge, and I didn't get to take a very long shower, and I didn't like that. And then I jumped in that cold plunge, and I tell myself, if I'm getting in the water, I'm going to stay till the 5 minutes is up. And I know some of you guys probably stay in there 20 minutes, and you're crazy. But it was so hard. The water was so cold. And what I figured out was my mind wasn't right. It's like, that's such a mental thing.
Yes.
And if your mind isn't right when you jump in the water, it is so hard to stay.
Yes.
And so I get it. I get not having a good day, and that's part of life. But you know what? You get up and you do it anyway. And yes, that's what we've been trying to teach our kids, do the hard things. And
mm-hmm.
We've done some hard things in our life, and I'm sure anybody listening, you've done hard things as well. And there's no escaping the hard things. And what's hard to you may not be hard to me, and what's hard to me, you guys might be sitting here listening thinking, well, that's easy.
Yes.
But we're all on our own journey, right?
Right.
So last episode, we talked about San Francisco.
Yes.
And really how that event, as painful as it was, it was painful at the time, it was painful to relive, but how that event helped shape and mold me into who I am today, or maybe it revealed to be who I am.
Yes.
Not try to change who I am. And you know, the takeaway in that story is I believe you were created on purpose, for a purpose, and you have all the gifts and abilities that you need to complete that purpose. Can we sharpen some of those? Absolutely. Can we get help? Can we become better? Absolutely. But there is nothing in you that is required to be somebody else. to do what you're on earth to do. And I think I lost sight of that. So if you haven't listened to that, go back. It's whatever episode. Maybe number 3.
Yes, I think it's number 3.
Yeah. So what should we talk about today?
Well, as I'm trying to get my brain to work through a hot flash.
You're having a hot flash right now?
Yes, but that serves me right. Coming here in sweats, you know, I was going to be really dressed to the nines. I told you, even though this is audio, I was like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to be dressed for success. I will be there. And I am so sorry I'm here in sweats today.
Well, those are nice sweatpants.
Right.
So, anyway. But yeah, having a hot flash. Well, good.
Yes. So if my brain can work correctly, the thing I want to ask you, you have had a lot of tough conversations this week that you have told me briefly about, and you're somehow so good at that, and you consider it a challenge, and you're just really good at it. I am terrible at it. I will stress out for days about it. But talk to me, I mean, explain that process. How do you have a tough conversation?
That's a good question. I think part of it is looking at it as a challenge.
Really?
That probably doesn't help you.
No.
Why is it hard? Why is it hard for you? Maybe I'll start with that.
I'm afraid my emotions will get ahead of my words.
Okay. You know, I think part of the tough conversation is we all go in prepared to have a tough conversation. Some of us prepare poorly. We prepare ourselves for failure. Yes. We think about a tough conversation. It's like, well, I'm going to bring this up, and then they're going to get upset, and then they're going to throw a shoe, and then they're going to call me a name, and then it's going to destroy this relationship, and then I'm never going to talk to them again, and it's going to hurt my kids. And we kind of build this story up in our minds of what's going to happen in this conversation. And we prepare ourselves for worst case scenario.
Yes, I do that.
We almost set ourselves up to fail, right?
Yes.
And I think the challenge is to really work through that conversation and create a game plan on how that conversation, if it does go bad, how do I get it back on track? If it goes off the rails, how do I get back? And I think it has a lot to do with how you start. And if you think about when we're going to have a tough conversation with somebody, and maybe it's constructive criticism, maybe you've got to tell your boss you're quitting, or maybe you got to have a tough conversation with a kid. Teenage boys, you got to have conversations with them, right? I mean, maybe it's
you
with
do.
Yeah. Sometimes we got to have them multiple times. Maybe it's with your spouse.
Yes.
And I think the problem is we hit somebody cold. We hit them cold. We don't set them up to receive the information we're sharing. And I do an hour long, well, it's almost a half day, but I can squeeze it into an hour on constructive criticism, a little workshop, and then okay. I break people up in teams, and we talk about constructive criticism. And I always ask them, you know, where, when, how, what do you have this conversation? Where are you going to be? Who's going to be there? What are you going to say? How are you going to start it? How are you going to end it? And I think how we start it is so important. And there's probably a dozen rules to what I call giving good constructive criticism.
Yes.
One of them is be one-on-one, you know. Praise in public, criticize in private. That's easy, right? Okay. One of them is, you know, can they use it? The litmus test for good constructive criticism is, can they use this to become better? This tough conversation may not be constructive criticism. But I think the most important rule that I have, and the one that I try to implement first in a tough conversation, and it's also the one I get the most pushback from because it sounds like sensitivity training, is I want you to ask for permission. I want you to ask for permission to give somebody some news that they're not going to like. And
Okay.
And it sounds so patty cake, soft serve, but for if I come up and I just say, man, Trina, let me tell you how horrible you're doing at this. Our natural reaction is to be defensive. Yes. And you're going to come out swinging.
Yes.
And we've all been in that situation. It's like, you know what? I'm pretty smart. Clearly you're not. Let me tell you how you can be better. And why wouldn't that go bad?
Yes.
We never gave permission. We never received permission to have that conversation. So I want to ask for it first. And I don't want to say, do I have permission to have a tough? No, that's stupid. What I want to do is I just want to say, sweetheart, can I be honest with you?
That you, sounds all right.
You will always say yes.
Yes.
Are you guarded when you say yes?
No.
You sure?
Not when you say it like that.
When I say it like that. But I would be. It's like, well, honest. Are you not always honest with me?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
But it's like, oh, here comes something. And maybe you're now on your heels a little bit, but at least you're prepared. But there's something magical in the body that happens when we say yes. When we say yes, we open up to whatever information we're about to hear. And so I want to ask that yes question a couple of times.
Okay.
If I've got a coworker and they need to change their behavior or they need to change their attitude, I'm going to be like, hey, Tony, can we have a tough conversation? Well, sure, boss. Tony, can I give you some advice that you probably don't want to hear, but I think it's going to make you better? Okay, boss, what is this? And now, I mean, I've already gotten to say yes twice.
Right.
And when we say yes twice, we just open up. If we can get them to say yes three times, we open up to that information. And I'm reminded of a story. I was doing a workshop in Oklahoma for the electrical contractors, and there was a foreman in there. His name's Charles, and he's just the best dude in the world. And he was really good at what he does. And he had been, I think he'd been in the trade for 26 years, and we were doing this in a workshop, and we got toward the end, and I said, I got one more tip for you guys. And I said, I want you to ask for permission. And what I love about Charles is you really didn't have to wonder what this guy was thinking. I mean, he'd just tell you. And he's like, you got to be kidding, Nick. And I said, no, hear me out. And so we went through that whole thing. And he came back the next month. This group, a foreman, I was doing a workshop for them every month for 6 months. It was kind of pulling them through a leadership track. And came back the next month. The idea was give them some information, like go home, test drive it, come back, make course corrections, do it again. And Charles walks in and he said, Nick, what's your conversion rate on that ask for permission? And I said, well, what do you mean? What are you talking about? He said, Nick, I've been doing this a long time. And he said, last week was the hardest week I've ever had in my 26-year career. And I said, what happened? He said, last week I had to lay off 33 guys.
Oh, my.
And basically fire them. And he said, some of these guys needed the work. And he said, some of these guys, he said, honestly, there's a couple I was happy to get rid of. But he said, most of these guys, they were some of the absolute best people in my life. And he went on to tell me, he said, Nick, you don't know this, but he said, I was electrocuted on a job a couple years ago. And I'm going to screw up the language because I'm not an electrician. But he was basically working in a panel box. He was doing some hot work. It was live.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was 1,200 amp panel. And I think he was switching out a breaker or something. And he said, on this breaker, you got to pop this out, but you got to spin this nut. And when you spin this nut, he couldn't get it spun. He was wearing hot gloves so you can work with live wires.
Yeah.
And he said, when I went to spin that nut, I couldn't get it. So I had to slip my glove off.
Mm.
And he said, everything was covered up. And he said, this was, you know, it was as safe as he thought it was. And he'd send his apprentice across the job to check on one of his other journeymen. And he said, I went to spin that nut on, and he said that there was a live wire. There was a bare wire, and he said it grabbed me, and he said it just pulled me into this panel.
No.
And he said, I couldn't get away. I couldn't scream. I couldn't do anything.
Mm.
And he said, if you've ever been in a situation like that, you realize this is how I die. And he said, all of a sudden, every significant moment in my life started flashing through my mind. Mm. He said, I could see everything, every significant moment. And I realized this is it. And he said, but then something in me said, you're not dying today. And he said, you may rip your arm off, but you're getting away from this thing. And he said, somehow he ripped away from that. He was hooked up to it for over a minute. Just cooking him.
Oh, no.
And when he ripped away, it pulled his shoulder. I mean, just almost tore it off. Ligaments, tendons, muscles, everything was tore up.
No.
And I forget all the details, but he was in the hospital. He had surgeries. He had rehab. He said, some of these guys that I had to lay off last week brought my family meals while I was in the hospital.
Wow.
He said, some of these guys mowed my yard. And he said, now I had to fire him. And he said, I mean, this guy had tears just welling up in his eyes, swelling up in his eyes. And is it welling up or swelling up? It's welling up. I think a tear wells.
Sure.
I don't know.
I'll research that.
I'll say it faster next time. Probably nobody can tell the difference with my southern drawl. But his tears were just were swelling up in his eyes. And it hurt him. But he said, you know, Nick, he said, I decided to try some of this Nick Biddle crap. That's what he calls it. That's what a lot of people call it. Because he said, what do I have to lose?
Yeah.
And he said, so every one of them, I started the conversation with, it's like, hey, can we have a tough conversation that I don't want to have? He said, Nick, I asked 33 guys that question.
Oh.
He said, 32 of them said yes. He said, one of them said, I want to say no, boss, but I think we're going to have it either way, aren't we? He said, that's pretty much a yes, isn't it? I said, yeah, that'll work. He said, I had 33 conversations. He said, every one of those guys shook my hand, thanked me, and said, when you get busy, boss, you call me back. He said, I've had that conversation a lot of times in my career. He said, I've never had that kind of response. And I think, and Charles, he's a great communicator. He's a great dude. He's a great leader. But I think when we ask for permission, can I be honest with you? Can I tell you something that's just going to break my heart? Mm-hmm. But it's going to make you better. That frames up that conversation. And the other thing that happens, which I don't even know if we always recognize it, is it's a way to hold ourselves accountable. Because if I ask you, if I can be honest with you, and then you say, yeah, Nick, and I'm like, no, seriously, I mean, can I be brutally honest with you, or do I need to sugarcoat this? And you're always going to say, they'll always say, no, Bree, be honest with me, because really that's a challenge.
Yes.
Because what I'm asking you is, are you strong enough to handle the truth?
Yes.
It's like a few good men. You can't handle the truth. That's a challenge. We want to say, no, be honest with me. Shoot me straight. I can handle it, whether we can or not.
Right.
And that's going to force that person on the listening end of the conversation to sit there and take it. More than if we hit them cold. We hit somebody cold. Let me tell you why you're so stupid. Let me tell you how bad you are. They're going to come out swinging. But it's like, man, can I be on? Can I have a tough conversation? Can I tell you something that's probably going to make you mad? And all of a sudden, we want to prove that person wrong. It's like, well, it ain't going to make me mad. And it changes the nature or the texture of that conversation. The other thing it does is it forces you to be honest. It holds us accountable. I just asked this person if I could be honest with them. They had the courage to say yes. And now if I'm not honest, that's my problem.
Yes.
Because how many times do we start a tough conversation and then we chicken out?
Me, all the time.
And why do you chicken out?
Oh, I'm just not good at this stuff.
Well, you got to quit saying that.
Yeah.
You got to quit saying that. But yeah, well, once they give you permission, I mean, I've even had conversations, and in the middle, when it's really getting real, I'll be like, are you sure? I mean, do you really want to know this? Because we can stop right now. Guys, gals, they'll always say yes. They'll say, no, I want to know this. And deep down in dark places we don't talk about, we do. We do want to know it. It doesn't mean it's not going to hurt our feelings. It doesn't mean it's not going to hurt and sting. But we do want to know. And then once it's out, you know, the hard part's over. The hard part's over, but you gotta get it out. And I tell you, I don't know how many times I've had a tough conversation with someone. I've shared something with them that they really needed to hear. And they thank me later. Maybe not at the moment. But they call me up and say, man, I appreciate you having the courage to tell me that. That must have been tough. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something about them seeing the struggle. Because mm-hmm. it should be hard. And I work with some really ugly, big, strong, ugly guys in the construction industry. And they're like, well, I'll just tell somebody how stupid they are. But the truth is they don't. What they do is they tell them, hey, you're doing a good job and things are slowing down. And as soon as things pick up, we'll get you back. And they lay somebody off and they just lie to them. Mm-hmm. And I'm always frustrated. I think in business, we do a horrible job of setting expectations. We don't tell people what we expect of them. And then when they don't live up to those expectations, we get frustrated. And then we don't have the courage to share those expectations with them then or how we want them to change. And then we're frustrated with them that they haven't changed. And I'll tell guys all the time, if you've got anybody on your crew or your team or in your family that you are frustrated with, and they don't know it, they don't need to change their behavior. They need a better boss. Mm. They need a better leader. They need somebody in their life who has the courage to tell them the truth. And that takes a lot of courage. A lot of courage.
Yes.
But what else is your job? When you're the boss, that's your job.
Yes.
Who else is going to do it? And if you've got anybody in your life, it's like, well, I wish someone would go tell them this. Well, that someone might be you. But ask for, you know, and the rules, one-on-one, get alone. It's going to be a tough conversation. We don't need an audience. Don't make it about you. And ask for permission. And then be sincere. And then listen. Be understanding. And then be honest. Just be honest. Get it out. Work through them. Work through it. And see what happens. Does that make any sense at all?
Wow. Yes. That's some really good Nick Biddle stuff.
You won't say crap, will you?
No, I don't want to say
she
that.
She doesn't have a potty mouth.
It is good, but that is why, I mean, you live that, and you have great relationships with everyone. You don't ever burn a bridge.
That's not true.
People aren't scared of you. You can have a conversation with anyone, any walk of life, anyone.
I mean, I appreciate you saying that, but I've burned bridges. I don't think it was my choice, but there's been some individuals when I've been in a leadership role where I've told them, you need to change. And I approached it right.
Yeah.
And it cut too deep.
Really?
And they left and they've never come back, or they couldn't handle the truth.
Aww.
You know?
Yeah. I was going to ask that. Maybe they couldn't handle it, and maybe someday they will come back.
Yeah.
But you were honest, like you said. It's the number one thing.
It wasn't my job to be their friend. Mm. that doesn't mean we need to be a jerk. And sometimes, you know, I talk to these foremen, journeymen, and general foremen and PMs all the time, and they're like, well, that's why I don't want to get to know anybody, Nick, and I don't want to build a relationship, because then they're easier to fire. It's like, no. You know, what made Charles so great was, man, he cared about these guys and gals.
Yeah.
It should hurt to fire somebody, but you know what? That's going to make those individuals easier to develop. Because when you got a relationship with somebody and you do give them some advice they don't want to hear, they're going to listen to it.
Yes.
We've all worked for a jerk that just thinks their jobs make everybody look stupid or feel stupid or make themselves feel bigger or better.
Yes.
That's hard. It's tough.
So, I mean, I know what the takeaway is, but wrap it up and...
You put a ribbon on
it. Quick points, yes. So I can take my notes.
If you're going to have a tough conversation, ask for permission. I mean, I did this with our son the other day.
Yes.
It's like, Cruz, can we have an uncomfortable conversation that you don't want to have? And it was about teenage boy stuff. Mm. And he's like, okay, Dad. If I'd have hit him cold, that conversation would have not have gone well.
Yeah.
We do this with our daughter. It's like, hey, you ready to have a conversation you don't want to have? Fine.
Eyes roll.
Yeah. But you know what? We have it.
Yes.
She changes.
Yes.
Because it's about sincerity.
Yeah.
And if the bridge gets burned, then you probably didn't have that good a relationship anyway. Mm. If you got an employee that throws something at you and sets the place on fire, well, they're probably a bad fit.
Yeah.
But at least you handle it right.
Yes.
Because I think that's an integrity issue. And at least you handle it right. You can sleep good knowing that.
Yes. That's very good. That's very helpful.
All right. Well, we could go deeper. We won't today, but we could go deeper into constructive criticism and what that looks like. But sometimes a tough conversation is constructive criticism, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes a lot of tough conversations are not constructive criticism. It's just, I got to quit my job or I've got to do something different. And it's not necessarily telling somebody else how they can improve. So I think that could be a different conversation. But anytime you're doing constructive criticism, you're given that. And construction criticism sounds like constructive criticism, but they're completely different.
Yes.
But anytime we are giving somebody constructive criticism, I still say start with asking for permission.
That's good.
Cool. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. We will we'll talk to you again next time. Take care.